Take your Bibles tonight and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 8. Second Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 8. It says, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for what you're going to accomplish tonight again as we look back into your word, as we continue on our journey through 2 Corinthians. Father, I pray that we'd be drawn closer to you. Our faith would increase. I pray, Father, that we'd see some things that the Apostle Paul went through and how he reacted to those things. And I pray, Father, that we would look at his life and not try to be the Apostle Paul, but see that he was one that loved you and that followed you and didn't let the things of this world get in way of what was important. So I pray, Father, that we could see his life and see that it's one worth looking at and using as an example. I know that we're supposed to follow your example, as that's the perfect example. And so I pray, Father, tonight that we would keep that in mind as well. As we look into your word now, I pray that you'd be glorified in all that's said and done, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're looking at the victory of the Lord's ambassadors, and this is part two. You have to go back to prior to missions conference and prior to, you know, when we had visitors in the church and stuff, we've had a few things going on. And so as we go back that far, this is the second part of that heading that I chose for this. It's a fine field for a Christian minister or any other Christian to do good when his name is unjustly slandered. You know what we want to do when we're slandered? Like I've said so many times, we want our pound of flesh or more, right? If somebody wrongs us, we don't want just the pound of flesh. We want a pound and a half at least. We want to get more out of them than what they took from us is what we want to do. But it's better if we, when we're unjustly slandered, that we would just take that and move on. We've got to almost be like those that just let those things roll right off our back, right? It's not easy. It's not easy to do that. It's difficult to say, you know what? I'm just not going to let that get to me. I'm just going to move forward and say, you know, it's okay, because I'm not doing it for their praise or their honor or their glory. I'm doing it for the Lord. And when we look at it that way, we have an opportunity. God gives us this opportunity where we can show the true excellency of the Christian spirit. Right? Isn't that what it's all about? If when people harm us, we show them love, isn't that what Christ did? I always think of when he was nailed to the cross and when he said it was finished, and then he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, right? He said, they have no idea what they're doing. Forgive them. How many of us could say when we're being wrong, Father, forgive them? We're more of the mindset of, God, just annihilate them right now, right? Just wipe them from the face of the planet, because then I don't have to deal with them anymore. And God says, no. You know, years and years and years, people have been saying, you know, the best thing that could happen to people when they mess up is they just be executed immediately. Where's the chance that they might come to know Christ the Savior? Is there not an opportunity for that? I always look at the Apostle Paul, as we're discussing tonight here, with how he's handled things and all. We look at him and we see, okay, at one time he was Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus was not one that you would say would be a friend of Christians, right? In fact, he was persecuting those who proclaimed to be Christ-like. That's what they were called Christians for, because they were Christ-like. And so he was out there persecuting people like you and I for our faith. And always doing it in the name of God. He thought it was what God would have him to do. But he got saved. That man's life changed dramatically. Can you imagine what it'd be like if people who are out there, and I talk about ISIS and the terrorist groups and you know all of them that are out there, and say, you know, instead of just going in and bombing them off the face of the planet, how about if we send them the gospel message and see if they'll get saved? And if they get saved, think of what they possibly could do for God. It could change things in a hurry. I think of prison ministries and all, and how many people in prison ministries are hearing the gospel, some of them for the first time. And it's changed some lives. I remember when Brother Anker had the ministry out at the Airway Heights, he said, some of those guys have gotten saved, and they send offerings to the church here. I said, wow, what a blessing. And then when they go back into society, they're going back as a saved person with a different perspective on life, a different outlook, and wow, can you imagine what that would do to people's lives? It'd change them in a hurry. Because isn't that what the Bible tells us? When they get saved, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. They become a different person, a different creature in Christ Jesus. So what a blessing it is to be able to show what it's like when we are harmed, when we are slandered, when we are all this negative talk about us. We could just say, you know what? I just want to show them love, because that's what my Savior would do. And imagine what a difference that might make in their life. How is this person taking it this way? How are they doing that? And I remember one time just being grilled up one side and down the other and all, and when I was told that the others in the room would never have been able to sit there and not say anything, my answer was, I just want God to be glorified. That's all I wanted. Now, would it have been easy to lash out at them? Sure. That's the flesh. But would that be glorifying God? No. And trust me, I'm not some super Christian or anything. I could only do that because God gave me the ability to do it. It's because of Him, not because of me. But we can all draw from that strength from God and say, you know what? We don't have to lash back out. We can be Christ-like. We can show people the love of God. We can treat people in love, even when they treat us in hate. Gives us a great, great opportunity and privilege to show what being Christ-like is all about. Like Him in His sufferings and in the moral excellence of His character, a man should be willing to do anything if it will make him like the Redeemer, whether it be in suffering or in glory. Does it matter? The suffering of this present world, right, is nothing compared to what we're going to get when we go to heaven. Nothing. I mean, heaven is so much better than this. In fact, I had a preacher one time, he said, people are just dying to get there. And yes, we are, right? But I'm telling you, I'm just looking forward to that trumpet sounding, and we could be out of here. I think it could happen still in my lifetime, and I'm going to keep preaching that as long as I got breath. And if I'm wrong, I still win. I still get to go. Look at Philippians 3:10, please. Philippians 3:10. It says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Imagine? We are crucified with Christ, right? That's what the Apostle Paul said. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, right? It's because of what he's doing, not because of what we're doing. But we can do this the way God would have us to do this if we die to self and let Christ live through us. How about 1 Peter 4:13? This one says in 1 Peter 4:13, but rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Rejoice that we are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Christ said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. They persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. And then it happens that we go, why is this happening to me? Well, because we forgot what our Savior said. We forgot that this is going to happen. I was talking to some this morning, and I said, you know, as we're going through Thursday nights and we're looking at the doctrine of Satan and all, and Satanology, by the way, we're looking at that, and I said, I knew Satan would start attacking. And he has. We've seen all kinds of attacks from Satan since I started that series. And it's not done. And he's going to continue to attack. And how do we react? My prayer is that we react Christ-like. That we don't give in to the devil, but we act Christ-like. And say, you know what? We're not going to fall for what you got, Satan. We're going to continue to follow through as God would have us to do, and we're still going to treat people in love. The verse goes on and says, in good report, when men speak well of us, when we are commended, praised, or honored, to honor the gospel then, and to commend the ministry, is to show that the earth is not set on this and does not seek it. We do not run out and seek the praise of men. Not what it's about. When God called me to preach, I said, I'm going to preach the Word of God regardless if it steps on people's toes and they like it or not. It's not about making people like me. It's about people hearing the truth of the gospel. That's what it's about. And some people, I have had people come to me and say, that's just your opinion. Okay, well, when I give you verse after verse after verse of Scripture that backs up what I'm saying, it's not my opinion. It's the Word of God. If I give my opinion, I say, this is how I feel, this is my opinion on this, it's not God's Word, I can't prove it from Scripture, but from what I've researched and all, and as much as I take in context and I go to the Greek and the Hebrew and all that, this is what I get from that. Can't prove it. But you put the whole picture together, and that's why I believe it. Could I be wrong? Sure. Can the Word of God be wrong? No. Never. Never. So that's why we have to be sure. This is our opinion, and this is the Word of God. But if somebody gets upset because I give them the Word of God, that doesn't make it my opinion just because they're upset. If God's stepping on toes, well, maybe it's because they need to be stepped on. And then to keep the heart from being puffed up with pride and self-estimation. There's a lot of people, man, you got, I don't know if you've ever been around them, but I've been around some preachers that they get their head puffed up. I'm surprised how they get through the door. It's amazing. And I've had some, in fact, we had a preacher one time, my wife and I sat under, and he said, I'm so sick and tired of these stiff-necked, my way or the highway Baptist preachers. And it's true, because they get so lifted up in pride thinking that they, everything they do is perfect, right? No. Have I made mistakes? You bet I have. Will I still make some more? You bet I will. Not that I want to, but I'm human. Right? Anybody got perfect the moment they got saved? I need to talk to you because I didn't get that dose. I'm just saying, you know. Like the Bible says, we're still going to sin. We shouldn't want to. We shouldn't think that we can. But we're still going to sin. And then not to suffer it to interfere with our fidelity to others and with our faithfully presenting to them the truth. You know, I've been lambasted by people and I don't care. They're still going to get the truth of the gospel. I'm not going to water it down because I don't want them to be upset with me. What good does that do? What good does it do if you sit there and agree with their false doctrine and tickle their ears? What good does that do? We heard tonight, people are lost and dying without Christ. It doesn't do them any good. And then those of us that are left behind that know where they're at, just rips our heart out. Well, it should anyway, right? It should rip our heart out that people are dying and going to hell. Satan often attempts to bribe men by praise and to neutralize the influence of ministers by flattery. There's a lot that could be done with people who are telling you how great you are. It'll damage. Because pride is a terrible thing. And it's easy to fall into that trap. That's why years ago when people tell me, that was a good message, I like that. Thank God. Thank God. It'd be too easy to say, look at me. I did something, didn't I? No, it's God that did it. And we need to give Him credit. Seems hard to go and proclaim to men painful truths who are causing the incense of praise to ascend around us. And some people, you know, I've had preachers tell me, you know, I got to be careful what I preach because some of these guys in the church, they'll leave and they'll take their money with them. And I mentioned it before and I'll mention it again. I told them, I said, I'd hold the door and tell them goodbye on the way out. I'm telling you, God does not need our money. God can take care of His church all by Himself. He does not need us. Thank God He allows us to get involved. Thank God He gives us all these opportunities to be involved. But He doesn't need that. So what do you want to do? Preach to them because you want their money out of their pockets and into the offering plate? That's not what this Bible teaches. It states that we're not supposed to be preaching for filthy lucre. We're supposed to be preaching the gospel because that's what's going to get people saved. That's what's going to get people right with God. Our problem is that we like our ears tickled, right? But the Bible warns us about that. We need to be careful. It's commonly much easier for a minister of the gospel to commend himself as a minister of God when he is slandered than when he is praised, when his name is cast out as evil than when the breezes of popular favor are wafted upon him. It's easier because people get lifted up in pride when people start talking. It's so easy to fall into that trap. People are out telling you what a low-life scum-of-the-earth slime you are. It's easy to say, well, God knows the truth. I'm just going to stick with Him. Few men can withstand the influence of flattery, but many men can meet persecution with a proper spirit. Few men, comparatively, can always evince Christian fidelity to others when they live always amidst the influence of good report. But there are many who can be faithful when they are poor and despised and reviled. Oh, isn't that what happened to Paul? Over and over and over. He went through it. But he stood the test, right? He said, I'm going to stay faithful to the Word of God. I'm going to stay faithful to my Savior. And he did. It has happened that God has so ordered it that his faithful servants have had but little of the good report which this world can furnish, but that they have been generally subjected to persecution and slander. It happens. It happens. The world does not like people who stand for the truth of the gospel. And I don't care if it's a pastor or a missionary or an evangelist, you name it, a layman in the church. It doesn't matter who they are. If they stand for the gospel, we're going to suffer people talking bad about us. You're just one of those Bible thumpers, right? Well, that hurts. Now, you're a Jesus freak. Well, praise the Lord, right? I mean, they talk down about us, and we can sit there and rejoice because at least they noticed that we love our Savior. And then we're not going to back down. We're going to preach the gospel, no matter what the cost. I said, in fact, I talked to a guy the other day, and I said, you know, I said, when they brought in same-sex marriage, I stood in this pulpit and said, I'll take those silver bracelets before I ever perform one of those. Not going to happen. Not going to happen. You have to compromise. No, I don't. I'll tell you what. One of my favorite lines is, you go talk to God and see if he'll compromise, and if he will, then I will. I already know the answer, right? I mean, we all know the answer to that. God's not going to compromise. He's not going to give in at all. And we shouldn't either. As deceivers. That is, we are regarded and treated as if we were deceivers, and if we were practicing an imposition on mankind, and as if we would advance our cause by any trick or fraud that would be possible. That's what the world thinks, right? We don't have to trick the world. God didn't say go out and trick them. He said go out and warn them of the impending danger. That's what we need to do. We are regarded and treated as deceivers. Perhaps this refers to some charges which had been brought against them by the opposing faction at Corinth, or perhaps to the opinion which the Jewish priests and heathen philosophers entertained of them. The idea is that though they were extensively regarded and treated as impostors, yet they endeavored to live as become the ministers of God. That's all they wanted. They wanted God to be glorified in everything that they did. That should be our desire. When we have that desire, it's easier to let that stuff roll right off our back and say, you know what? They have no idea. They have no clue. They will one day if they don't repent and get right with God. They will, but they have no clue right now. I can tell you for a fact that every single lost person who stepped out into eternity knows the truth today. They know that Jesus Christ is God. No doubt whatsoever. And they rejected the only one that could have saved them from eternal damnation. They bore the imputation with patience, and they applied themselves diligently to the work of saving souls. Paul seldom turned aside to vindicate himself from such charges, but pursued his master's work, and evidently felt that if he had a reputation that was worth anything, or deserved any reputation, God would take care of it. Won't God settle the score? I like the fact when the Bible tells us, "Vengeance is mine, I shall repay, saith the Lord." We don't need to go out and get our pound and a half of flesh or more. We don't have to do that. God's going to take care of it. Thank God we don't have to, right? Can you imagine? I mean, I'm Irish. I don't have red hair, but I am a hot-headed Irishman if you push me to the wall. You attack my wife and my kids, my grandkids. There's a whole different side of me. I'm just being honest with you. I don't have to be that way. I could say, you know what? God's got this. But I'm just saying, you know, it's easy to go from calm to fuming in no time at all when you tag somebody I love and care about. See, we have to be careful that we don't fly off the handle, because pretty soon we're flying off the handle at those people we do love, not just those who are attacking us. We got to be careful. God says we don't have to be that way. We can react in love. Look at Psalm 37. We had some kids come to the church one time, and they said their dad requires that they memorize the entire Psalm 37. I said, well, that puts me to shame. I have memorized entire Psalms, but not as long as Psalm 37. But these kids were just reciting it off, and I was like, wow, praise the Lord that they know that. You can do it. Praise the Lord. But let's look at verses 1 through 4. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Wow. We don't need to fret over the evildoers. You know, it's interesting. My wife and I pray every day for our country, our elected officials. First and foremost, we want them to be saved, right? That's what we need to do. We need to pray that they get saved. Second, we pray that they would lead our nation according to the Word of God. And then I ask God to reveal the evil and wicked doers and take the blinders off the people, so they see exactly what's happening, and that the evil and wicked doers would be done away with. Now, I was accused of wanting the evil and wicked doers to be destroyed, like killed, done away with. I said, no, I want the evil and wicked doers out of office and still pray for them so that they would get saved. Is that not what this is about? Do we not want them saved? Well, they don't deserve it. Look what they've done. Folks, we didn't deserve salvation. And until we realize we didn't deserve it and accept the fact that we didn't deserve it, we're going to start passing judgment on people and say, these ones deserve it and those ones don't. No. None of us deserve it. Thank God we've gotten the opportunity to accept Christ as Savior, right? As a child of God, we should be ecstatic that we got to. But it doesn't mean that we should look down on those who haven't. There's a reason they haven't. They've either just rejected it, they've already heard, or maybe they haven't heard. You know, there's many of them over and over and over, they talk about religion, right? Because as soon as they start talking about their faith, they start talking about a religion and not a relationship. They talk about how they keep all the traditions of men. That's not what saves someone. We need to be careful of that. A man, especially a minister, who's constantly endeavoring to vindicate his own reputation usually has a reputation which is not worth vindicating. Got to be careful. A man who deserves a reputation will ultimately obtain just as much as is good for him and as will advance the cause in which he is embarked. God's got it. He's got it. And it's hard. I mean, we look at what's going on in our world, and I keep saying, God's got this. God's got this, right? And it's hard to accept because it looks like things are spinning out of control. But God still got it. You know, I didn't get the postcard from heaven that says, you know, God has decided to give up the throne. I didn't get that. I got that God is on the throne and He is not giving it up. He still rules. He still reigns. And when our Bible tells us that the powers that be are ordained of God, God has put them there for a purpose. We might not like it, but think about it. Go back to the Israelites when they cried out for a king and God gave them one, right? They didn't like it, did they? How many times have we cried out for a quote-unquote king? God's given us them. Many times I haven't liked it. Just saying. Goes on and says, and yet true, we are not deceivers and imposters, though we are regarded as such, yet we show ourselves to be true and faithful ministers of Christ. That's what it's about. You're going to be true and faithful to Christ? That's what we need to do. Our testimony is to soar above understanding by our responses to suffering. How do we respond to suffering? It's not easy. Right? When you're suffering, it's not when you want to say, ooh, I'm suffering, it's time to turn to God, right? We want to say, I'm suffering, and I want to lash out at anyone who comes near me, right? But we need to turn to God and say, God, I need you to help me through this. And then respond to others in love. All right, we're going to stop there for tonight.